lot of people will say, you know what, you've got the best job in the world. You get to interview all these artists. You're hanging around amazing people. And I think people see that. And that's about 30 seconds out of my day is like the actual camera time that people see. But they don't see the other 23 hours and 30 seconds of the day in which I'm waking up at 4 a.m., getting into workouts, doing a whole nother side hustle job, DJing, everything else that's getting me to where I'm at right now. So people don't generally tend to see that. It's easy to focus on the things we put out there. And it's easy for me to curate maybe, you know, my Instagram feed or something that it's like, oh, she's busy and she's doing all these things all the time. But that's really just the result and the payoff of all the hustle.
This is the Girl Behind the Hustle podcast, and I'm your host, Lucretia Thomas. On this podcast, we encourage, celebrate, and share stories from female founders that push you to stop playing it safe, build that business, and keep going. So if you're ready, let's hear the truth from the women behind the hustle. Hey, girlfriends, this is Lucretia. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast today. You guys, can you believe that it is almost March? I don't know about you. I don't know if it's the 24 inches of snow that I'm looking at outside my window or having to dig my car out every day. I don't know. But it's really hard for me to believe that it's almost March and that it's been a year in this thing with the pandemic. Like, I'm having a moment realizing that it's almost March again. But I've been trying to shift my mindset and believe that it's all about perspective. So lately, my goal has just been focusing more on things that bring me joy, walking in abundance, and just finding the ease in everything. Matter of fact, I'm going to link what I've listened to kind of shift my mindset. I found the audio on TikTok. It was like everyone was playing a snippet. I'm like, where is this audio from? I have to find it. You may have heard it as well. It's by Abram Hicks, and just talking about deciding that I'm a good person and I'm gonna move with ease and move with joy. So I'm gonna share the audio so you guys can listen to it as well. It'll be linked in the notes. So coming up this upcoming Sunday, since it is almost March, I've decided to open a group think tank co-working session to plan content for March. You guys have been asking for different ways that you can work with me. So this is one that I wanted to do, that you guys wanted kind of accountability with planning your content out. So it's two part. It's a one part workshop, and the other portion is going to be actually the doing. So I'm going to teach you about the updates and things that's going on in Instagram and give you the strategy and the framework that I use with my one-on-one clients, as well as when I'm planning my own content. This is the same framework that keeps my clients book busy and blessed, thank God, as well as the same framework that I've used to be shared and saved and reposted and garner a million reach and impressions every single month, and how I ended up posted by Jada Pinkins and Shonda Lee in the Shade Room. So this is the same framework. And so I'm sharing it with you guys in this two-part workshop content think tank. And that's going to be this upcoming Sunday. So that's going to be linked in the notes. If you're unable to make it live, you can still get the replay and the worksheets that we'll be using to plan our content out. So today on the podcast, I am chatting with Hannah Rad. She is an on-air talent, radio host, DJ, and content producer. Y'all, she is a bona fide hustler, okay? She has worked for King of No Sleep himself, Diddy, as one of the founding hosts of Revolt. She's interviewed Rihanna, hosts the ESPN X Games, Twitch, and Grammy Session Series, as well as Fashion Nova, Cardi B's launch. As you know, we are all multi-talented hustlers around here. So as a DJ, she spun events for Apple Music, Beats by Dre, True Religion, Top Shop, Ultra Music Festival, Art Basel Miami, and the Global Spin Awards. We sat down to chat about her latest personal project, Sorry to Keep You Waiting. Sorry to Keep You Waiting is a short series she developed on a solo road trip through California. She had 7 locations and shared 7 stories and experiences about her mental health wellness journey. Listen in as we chat about it. Hey, Hannah, how are you? Welcome to the Girl Behind the Hustle podcast. How's it going?
I'm hustling is what I'm doing, but thanks for having me.
Always. Tell the listeners about who Hannah Rad is and what's your hustle.
I mean, I feel like if you would have asked me that question maybe 5-6 months ago, I would say I'm a TV host and DJ. And about 5 days, weeks ago, I would say I'm a original content creator. I've had a bit of a shift over the past few years, but I've always been heavily rooted in music and media, always tied to radio, TV, DJing. But now I'm in the process of creating my own series, and season one's just wrapped, but we're already eyeing ahead to season two.
Okay, and I know your career started off in graphic design before you became a DJ. How did you get your first consistent DJ opportunity?
It all happened through radio, actually. So I became a radio personality, and I was also multitasking as the content and programming director, because typical Capricorn can never just have one job. They have about 10.
Yes. Yep.
But at the same time, I was like, okay, I can talk and play, like hit play on the CDJs. But what if I actually blended and mixed the music and actually DJed it? And you know what? I didn't know how to do it, but I taught myself, and it's been a pretty amazing and consistent DJ career for the better part of the last 12 years.
You know, that's one thing about a hustler. We're going to figure it out. Like, I don't know how to do it, but give me a second and we'll figure it out.
I think it's part of hustle, and it's a part of my control issues. I don't want to ask anyone for help, so I'll just figure it out.
Mm-hmm. And those earlier days when you were, you know, working in radio or DJing, and maybe the money was like less consistent, how did you stay afloat?
Well, I still had a typical 9-to-5 job. So even while I was DJing, I was working at the radio station full time on the back end. And then eventually I transitioned into doing some TV work. And the radio took me into TV, and I was on Puff Daddy's Revolt TV for 5 years as one of the original hosts. And that wasn't even a 9-to-5. That was like an around the clock for 5 years. So I think that's the very definition of hustle, is just getting on Puff's no sleep schedule.
I know, right? Oh my goodness, that whole no sleep when you're dead. Oh, how did you manage that?
I think that's always kind of been ingrained in me. And I think that's what he recognized as someone who maybe didn't come from the same world as him in terms of music and demographic. I'm not born in New York, but I really cut my teeth there. But I think he recognized that hustle in me. And we came together over a love of kind of obscure music, and also the hustle and the grind. So I think he saw that in me from an early stage, and he was happy to have me on board to help launch the network, and I'm forever grateful for that.
And how did you kind of link up with him and have that opportunity?
One of his casting producers and assistants I had worked with sporadically over the course of my tenure in radio, and I was doing some TV appearances as kind of like a music and pop culture expert. And she was like, you know what? Everything you do on radio is awesome, but would you want to transition that into a career in TV? And I was like, I never really thought of it. I thought radio was like my end all be all, because I had wanted to be on the radio ever since I was a little kid. And I was like, you know what? Let's give it a try. And cut to a few months after that initial conversation, and I was selected to be one of the very few. I think there was 4 of us that helped start the network. And it was an amazing experience. So again, forever grateful, and I appreciate the hustle from all aspects, from him down to the producers and assistants who were helping hand select people.
And I know you've come to some amazing interviews. Do you have any favorite interviews that you've conducted? Or anyone after you met them, you're like, I want to hang out with this person. Like, this needs to happen.
1,000%. I mean, Alicia Keys is a memorable one. I've been lucky to be in her presence a number of times, and we have a really good rapport with one another. I did have a chance meeting with Rihanna on a red carpet, in which her PR was like, she's not doing interviews. Don't even bother. And I guess my outfit was just fly enough that day. So when Riri gets on the carpet, she looks at me and she's like, you look really nice. And I was like, you know what? This is my opportunity. And I was like, well, since I look nice, can I ask you some questions? And I got the interview even when they said it wouldn't happen. Later on, watching the footage back, all my friends were like, I think she was flirting with you. And I was like, damn, missed opportunity. So I like,
you know, that's the opportunity. Like, let Riri flirt with
me. I know. Like, it was a beautiful opportunity and a missed one all the same. So it's definitely memorable for two very specific reasons.
Yes. What's the craziest experience you've ever had in your career?
In my career, I think one of the craziest things has been has happened over the course of this last series that I just did. In the final episode, I go skydiving, and I have a crazy, crazy intense fear of heights. I won't go on roller coasters. Don't ask me to stand on a ladder to put the star on top of the Christmas tree. Like, I do not like heights at all. And I was like, you know what? I've tackled a lot of emotional and vulnerable things in this series, but let's conquer like a real tangible fear. So I went skydiving, didn't really have a chance to think about it, and it provided a beautiful moment in memory for me.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so let's talk about, what don't we see behind it all? What don't we see behind the hustle?
I think that's a really good question. Behind the hustle, I think it's that's part of what's kind of propelled me into this space in my career that I'm at right now. It's like a lot of people will say, you know what, you've got the best job in the world. You get to interview all these artists. You're hanging around amazing people. And I think people see that. And that's about 30 seconds out of my day is like the actual camera time that people see. But they don't see the other 23 hours and 30 seconds of the day in which I'm waking up at 4 a.m., getting into workouts, doing a whole nother side hustle job, DJing, everything else that's getting me to where I'm at right now. So people don't generally tend to see that. It's easy to focus on the things we put out there. And it's easy for me to curate maybe, you know, my Instagram feed or something that it's like, oh, she's busy and she's doing all these things all the time. But that's really just the result and the payoff of all the hustle.
So let's talk about a moment in your life where you had this transition. Maybe it feels like a failure at the moment. And feel like sometimes we don't talk about those shifts or failures that may have happened to us. So you moved to LA, no longer working at Revolt. You have transitions going on in your personal life. How did we get past that? What were you feeling at the time? And how did we get through that and past that?
Yeah, well, I'm so glad that you brought it up like that, because I think that was the biggest pivotal point for me. And it took me a while to realize that, you know, I had been in TV for the better part of 10 years. And a month after moving to LA, after spending my time in New York, Revolt had massive layoffs. And I was one of the, you know, 70 plus people, I think, that got laid off in one day. And I took it very personally because I was like, well, I'm doing great at my job. I had two pilots greenlit, ready to go and shoot shows. I was like, was I mistakenly laid off? Like, I was questioning all these things because I was at a point where, you know, I was really confident in my skills, probably bordering on the space of getting a little cocky with it, where I was like, I'm too good for this. I'm not going to get laid off. But it was a real eye-opening experience. And I think for about a year and a half, 2 years, I wouldn't even really admit it to myself or to anyone else. Like, I just kind of hid behind the scenes and moved quietly rather than making it known, because I was a bit ashamed of it in some capacity. And you know what? I'm not special. I'm not the first person in the world to be laid off, but I took it, like I said, very personally. And I think now looking back, I take it as a blessing, and it's a beautiful lesson that I had to learn. And I'm glad for that experience, because now it shows me how to operate and maneuver, not only in my professional career, just in my personal space moving forward.
And I even think that maybe that gave you the opportunity and the wherewithal just to have this amazing docuseries that you've created. Can we talk a little bit about what led you to create this series and just break the project down a little bit for people who may not be aware of it?
Absolutely. Well, it's rooted in the idea that I kind of had to have a breakdown to have a breakthrough. And those are words directly from my
therapist.
That's
a word. You know?
And so a lot of people think because I started this series in the midst of lockdown and Black Lives Matter and our crazy political climate, that those were the things propelling me. But as I'd mentioned, you know, I was going through kind of this questioning period and a bit of a depression for the better part of the past 2 years. And it all led up to this one day in which I just felt super sad. You know, I couldn't get out of bed and I really wanted to, but I just physically couldn't force myself to do anything. And it was a really down day. I woke up the next morning and I was like, I refuse to let myself feel like this again. So I jumped in the car and just started driving with no destination in sight. And as I'm driving, I'm like crying. I'm like singing terribly. I am not a singer by any trade at all, but like just screaming lyrics, just getting out all the emotions. And as I'm doing this, I'm reflecting and thinking about all the things that led me to this place. And I'm like, I think I have some cool stories that I could share with people that people don't realize. Again, maybe not behind the hustle, but behind me and behind the person that you don't really get to see, because you only get to see, you know, Happy Hannah on the red carpet, like hanging out with celebs. You don't get to see her in her down moments. So I felt like I needed to share that vulnerable side. So I raced back home and wrote up this treatment, which was Sorry to Keep You Waiting. And I was like, I'm going to go on a road trip solo in California to locations I've never visited. And at each spot, I'm going to share one story that's vital to my personal journey of mental health and wellness. And that's what happened. And it was so fast that everything came together, from that moment in the car to launching a crowdfunding campaign. It was 1 month until I was on the road shooting, shot everything in 1 week, turned around the next episode the following week. And from start to finish, I believe it took about 2.5, almost 3 months from top to bottom. And that's a whole series done in a quick amount of time.
That's so amazing. Like, each episode feels like we're just journeying
kind of deeper and like peeling off a layer. Like every episode is better than the last. Like when you think you know something, it's like the next episode is like, what?
Exactly.
This too?
Yeah, I mean,
and you describe it as a love letter to yourself.
It is. I mean, I feel like I had to show myself a little love in the fact that, you know, like I said before, you know, I'm not special. These are things people have gone through since the dawn of time. But for me, it was like I just was refusing those and almost neglecting myself in that side of me that makes me who I am. So it was necessary for me to tap into all layers of myself and put that out there and basically just, you know, release. And it was a beautiful release in that sense.
And I know you said, mentioned that you did crowdfunding for this project. Why did you choose that route? And any tips that you can give someone who's looking to do a successful crowdfunding campaign?
Well, I mean, that's where the pandemic and the industry shift does come into play. I mean, at the beginning of lockdown, I had a lot of work that was transitioned from in-person events to live streamed things that were happening out of like the corner of my apartment through Twitch and Zoom and, you know, Google Hangouts. And then after a couple months, everything died down. And I think it was a matter of necessity. If I can't get a production company or a network to fund and back me, let me just throw it out into the world and see what comes back. And I think my vulnerability and honesty with everything that I was going through, I mean, I met the crowdfunding goal on the very last day. We made up like 35% in the last few hours, which I never would have imagined. I was resigned to the fact that I wasn't going to meet the goal, but it happened, and I'm forever grateful and overwhelmed by the generosity and support of people that I both know and don't know who contributed.
That's so amazing. You mentioned maybe a season 2 coming, you think?
Not maybe.
More
that's
stories?
Girl, that's a definite. It's not a maybe. I'm yes. already in pre-production. I'm planning a really big reveal and exciting excursion for episode 1. So we're going to take a little bit of a shift in tone because season 1 was very heavy and very personal to me. Season 2, I'm going to bring along some notable friends. You'll recognize them from across the worlds of music, celebrity, activism, and sports as well. And we're going to go on some pretty crazy rides together. And it's not just about the experience and the thrill. It's about us revealing layers of ourselves as well, too. So it's going to be really, really exciting.
Oh, that's going to be amazing. I can't wait for that. So this part of the podcast we call The Real Deal Behind the Hustle, where we take a deeper look at who the woman is behind the hustle.
Okay.
Let's talk about a quote, verse, or mantra that keeps you encouraged.
I think more recently I've been looking at the idea of, you know, it's a meme that keeps going around. It's like, if someone wants to post 30 Instagram stories, don't judge them. If they want to post something that they're sad, don't judge. Like, everyone has the capacity to feel in their own right and time. And I think that's something that I've had to be very mindful of, especially as I've been more revealing about the things that I'm going through. So you can't judge someone for healing, dealing, and talking about what they want when they want, because we're all on our own paths and journeys.
Is there a tool or app that helps you manage your life or work that you couldn't live without?
I mean, I do think it's Instagram, only for the mere fact that, you know, I've been able to craft and create kind of this echo chamber of news and entertainment that I'm capable of viewing from a healthy perspective. It took me a while to take a step away from it, but I use it now as an opportunity to investigate what's happening in the world from a knowledgeable and thoughtful perspective.
What book should every girl behind the hustle read?
Ooh, that's a good one. I do love Bossy Pants by Tina Fey for its mix of humor and realness. And I think just any woman who is in the industry in any capacity, there's so many things that you can align with and understand. And I think she does a really great job of putting that on display. Listen to the audiobook if you must, because listening to her tell her jokes and her stories is sometimes a bit more entertaining than just reading word on paper.
Oh, I love that. I'm definitely checking that one out. What is your go-to song to listen to before a meeting or to kick off your day? And I know you may have more than one.
Ooh, lately it's been Sia, Alive. It's about being in the moment, feeling alive. And I mean, when I say that's my song, I've got about 20 remixes on my playlist. So I'll just play it front to back. So I just got like a whole concert of one song.
I love that. What does self-care look like for you?
Self-care definitely for me starts with fitness. I think my mental and physical wellness begins with getting in a good sweat, and it's an ability for me to clear my head and mind. I'm literally in the middle of a workout right now as we speak. So I feel like it's something for me that keeps me very balanced. And it's also a mix of nature and the ocean and the water for me is something that is paramount for both my physical and mental health.
And fill in the blank. My name is, and one truth about the hustle is.
My name is Hannah Red, and one truth about the hustle is it never stops.
Never ever. Thank you so much, Hannah, for being on the podcast today and sharing all the truths behind your hustle. Please let the listeners know how they can connect with you, find out more about your docuseries and everything that you have going on.
Absolutely. If you Google Sorry to Keep You Waiting, you'll find me anywhere. And then also on Instagram, you can find at Hannah Rad, or the Sorry to Keep You Waiting handle is Sorry with a number 2, Keep You Waiting.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening today. I hope you enjoyed hearing our guest story. If there's something that you connected with or had one of those aha moments, do me a favor, go on Apple, rate and review the podcast, and share it with someone else. You know already who needs to hear this story today. Share it with them. Until we meet again, hustle and grace.